Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa. Last Tuesday, we talk about seeing things as they really are with wisdom, and ultimate application and its benefits. Today, we shall talk about a similar topic, seeing things as they really are with wisdom, a conceptual application, and its benefits. As you know, these seeing things as they really are with wisdom. Yatha bhutang jnana dasanam. We derive this from the first sutta of the Buddha, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the discourse of turning the Dhamma wheel. So in that sutta, the Buddha revealed his secret to attain Buddhahood, which is to see things as they really are with wisdom. What things? The Four Noble Truths. The Noble Truth of Suffering, the Noble Truth of the Origin of Suffering, the Noble Truth of the Cessation of Suffering, the Noble Truth of the Path Leading to the Cessation of Suffering. In what modes? In all its three modes and 12 aspects. What three modes? The mode of first, know this is the noble truth. Second, know that this noble truth, this is reality, or rather say reality, need to be fully understood or penetrated. The first noble truth of suffering need to be understood thoroughly, penetrated thoroughly. Then the second noble truth, noble truth of the origin of suffering, need to be eradicated. Need to be re-eradicated. Why? Because without it, you cannot get enlightenment. Without understanding suffering, you cannot get enlightenment. Without eradicated causes of suffering, the origin of suffering, there's no way to attain liberation. Then the third noble truth of the cessation of suffering, which is the realization of Nibbana. This is noble truth need to be realized. Then the final noble truth, the noble truth of the path leading to the cessation of suffering. This is the noble truth that need to be cultivated. So the first mode is to know them. The second mode, know how you should regard them. Then the third mode is what the Buddha said. This noble truth of suffering has been fully penetrated or understood. You see its true nature. This noble truth of the origin of suffering has been eradicated. It need to be eradicated, and the Tathagata, the Buddha, eradicated them. Then the noble truth of the cessation of suffering. This noble truth has been realized, has been realized, need to be realized and has been realized. And then the noble truth of the path leading to the cessation of suffering. This is the noble truth that need to be cultivated, and he has fully cultivated them. So 3 times 4, we have 12 modes, and all these 12 modes, in terms of in his ultimate application. Last week, we talked about the ultimate application is to help us, when we say see, then the Buddha said this is what the Buddha declared when he declared himself to be fully enlightened, because he has accomplished seeing all this, the Four Noble Truths in its three modes and 12 aspects, as they really are with wisdom. And the benefits was that he attained Buddhahood and Arahantship and Buddhahood. So he freed himself from the rounds of birth and death. No more reborn to be reborn again, and will never suffer the suffering of birth, the suffering of old age, the suffering of sickness, and the suffering of death. So this is the key, seeing things as they really are with wisdom. Basically means you need to unveil the unknown. What is not known to us, because of not knowing them, some ignorance, and because of ignorance, it causes a lot of suffering to ourselves. What are these? When we hold on to what is impermanent as permanent, we hold on to what has a nature of suffering as happiness. Right? Not? So many people hold on to the kind of attached relationship. Actually, it is a cause of suffering. It's a suffering itself. But because of taking what is suffering and as not suffering, as a pleasant, then you're bound to suffer. Sure. No way you can outsmart the Buddha, outsmart natural laws. Then, what is in its intrinsic value, intrinsic nature, is no permanent entity, no substantial entity, no permanent entity, which we call non-self or empty. And you hold on to them as I, my, myself, all this. And all whole load of suffering, causes of suffering arise. So the way the Buddha wants to solve problem is to help us see things as they really are with wisdom. As they really are. It's a kind of attitude. You don't try to fake things. Don't try to imagine things. You just take things as they really are. With wisdom. You need to have the wisdom, the potential, how to use wisdom. That's why we have to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, Panya. Because without that Panya, wisdom, there's no way you can see this profound ultimate nature. So like that. So, and eventually when we have the right attitude, when we have the ability, then we apply this right attitude and the ability on the ultimate reality. That is what we call by seeing Dasana. Okay? So now, you know this is for liberation. But some people may ask this question. Now, I'm still living a very common, simple life. You know, this liberation thing is still far from me. Okay, fair. Actually, not that far. Not that far. But many people conceive it to be very far. Okay, fine. It doesn't matter. That's how you perceive it. Then, can I apply something useful to my life here? No. Before I develop my ability up to the level of Bhavanamaya Panya, up to the level of wisdom that can penetrate, can see things as they really are. Yes, you can. Not exactly in the same way that is the ultimate realities, which actually was meant by the Buddha by this phrase, Yatha Bhutang Jnana Dasanam. Yatha Bhutang, as they are, as it is. Jnana, wisdom, insight, dasana, seeing. Apply the similar principle in our life and you see how you can improve even your worldly life. How? Worldly life, huh? There are many aspects. We start from the spiritual worldly life. Spiritual worldly life, some people think, oh, it's a conflict. Spiritual means spiritual, worldly means worldly. No. When you say spiritual, worldly life, worldly in this sense, not supramundane. So when you meditate, you want to choose a spiritual journey, how you start? You start actually, some people don't know how to start. They just go by instinct. Oh, I feel good with this teacher. I feel good with that. This is suitable for me. This suits me. No, this is not the way you start. Because what suits us is dictated or decided by our karmic link or karma in the past that we brought forward to this life. When we have some very good karmic link with someone, right or wrong, you just have few affinity. It doesn't require much wisdom to have that instinctive feeling, which may be right and sometimes can be very wrong. So this is not the way. Now how should we proceed? Ask ourselves. What do you want in life? Ask to the end. Some people say, oh, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a politician, a leader. But is that really what you want? You ask further. Assuming now you are sick man, very sick. Some people say, I want money. Yeah, you are very sick. You don't even have the health to go around. You have all the money at your disposal, but you just don't have the health to do it. To have it, to enjoy it. Do you want that life? Oh, then you realize, no, this is not what I want. I have all the money, but I cannot enjoy it. Then this is not what I want. Okay, then you say, is that health only you want? With all your good health, if you, let's say you mess up with your daily life, your parents, relationship, parents, children, relationship, then again, you feel unhappy. You say, no, this is not the one life I want. You ask further. Surely, eventually, we'll come to the point. What we want is actually happiness and avoid suffering. All beings are like that. No exception. Even for those who want to commit suicide, they don't want to live anymore. Actually, deep down, it's just that they don't want suffering. And because believing that there's no afterlife, if I end here, everything ends, my suffering ends with my life. That's why they commit suicide. So again, how? If you keep further asking, then you realize that actually we don't want suffering, we want happiness. It is just that different people define happiness differently. Some people, like in the East, people feel good family relationship is happiness. In the West, individual freedom is happiness. And everyone, they understand happiness to be different. Like right now, if I can breathe normally, to me that's happiness. Even to breathe normally is the hard when you have a lungs problem. So you see, what is happiness? Eventually look and look and look. It all boils down to this. We all want happiness and we don't want suffering. Then the next question that should come to our mind is, what is possible? You know, you don't pursue, you don't strive for something which is not possible. Some people, they aspire, they want the environment, people around them are all angelic. So well behaved, regard them well, love them, regard them, forgiving, well, everything. You don't need to do anything to change yourself. Everyone, you just love you as you are. You all your dirty nature, still people will love you unconditionally and regard you well, won't punish you. You can do everything as you like. You can be capricious. Yeah. Is it possible? No, that's not possible. So you aspire for such a condition that all externalities please you, for you to be happy, that's not possible. Why? Then the fact that we are born in human world already says it all, that as a human, we have imperfect karma. That's what makes us be reborn here. We have good karma somehow, otherwise you will not be reborn as human. And we have bad karma, we have to suffer here and there, every now and then. So if you look for an impossible goal and you want happiness by counting on outside externalities, let me tell you, sure, you fail, because you don't see this reality of life, that externalities do not listen to our subjective desire. They don't listen to us. In fact, even our mind and body may not listen to us. Right? So how? So give up what is not possible. Try to see things as they really are at the stage of setting our life goal. If you set a life goal wrongly, you aspire for what is not possible, you will continue to suffer and you will create and do a lot of hard work in the direction to make you suffer more. What is the point? That's the most painful mistake. Setting the wrong goal. The most impossible to set this goal. Set the goal that's possible. And what is possible? Then the Buddha told us, what is possible? We can completely purify our mind from all causes of suffering, all craving, all attachment, all wrong views, all selfishness, all jealousy, stinginess, pride, conceit, narrow-mindedness, all these negativities is possible to overcome. Okay, now we know that we can set the goal, that this is possible. Then the second thing, very important thing, we need to see them based on true nature, is the method. You know the method. For example, when you purify our mind, we can only purify our own mind. You think you can purify other people's mind? No, you can only show the way and let the person purify his own mind. No one purifies another. Okay? So the method is, the causes are in our hand, the opportunities are in our hand, every night, here and now. And not the past, not the future. Then you know you need to take good care of this present moment. Because only present moment, we have new cause. We can commit new cause. We can cultivate new causes. Okay. Then you adopt the right thing to lead you towards your goal. Some things are quite obvious, but sometimes people just don't see it. While talking to you right now, something came to my mind. A very unforgettable experience in my pre-U studies days. Another one from, I don't want to say what religion, he came from another religion. He tried to convert me and bring me to his religion and say how good his religion is, was. And then I say, you see, yeah, your religion talks about love, yes, but you love only human, but not animals. He said, no, animals are created for us to enjoy, you know. They are mechanical. You know, It is okay. Animals is mechanical. I say, how can you say so? When you pull the pig towards the slaughterhouse, how does pig scream? Can't you notice that? So much pain, so much suffering. And when you pull the mother away from the babies, cry. No, that's mechanical. Like, you know, like a reaction, mechanical reaction. I say, this is the numbers. I couldn't imagine how people can be so easily brainwashed to the point that they cannot see what our naked eyes, they tell us is as suffering. These people can be so brainwashed until they are blind to this. So how? How can you make a right decision of which path to do? Then I say, the teaching that we get from the Buddha is to purify ourselves from jealousy, from anger, from greed. I said, how can you do that? He told me, how can you do that? God is a jealous God. You know, God get angry if you don't listen to him. He punishes. So if God cannot overcome anger and jealousy, how can we do? He created us, he cannot. How can we do? So isn't it clear enough that what you have submitted to as a religion is wrong? It's bad. But he said, oh no, that's good. Because if I please the God, then God will take care of me. It's a good exchange. Eh? So it's obvious. But so many people cannot see. They cannot see things as they really are with wisdom. This is a bigger series. If you cannot do that, there's a big serious mistake. So obvious. You know? Some things are very obvious. The Creator is all powerful. The Creator is all merciful. And terrible things happen in the world. No, they say the Creator has a purpose. You cannot imagine how people can be brainwashed to the extent that so obvious the truth you cannot see. The pig screaming, you cannot see. That these defilements, this jealousy, anger, actually we can conquer. But they say not possible. So they give up. So the only right thing, the morality they have is, I please the God please me. I take care of the God take care of me. But if the God want to punish me, he has his purpose. He punishes me for my good work. He has his purpose. Crazy. So if we make this mistake, not able to see things as they really are at this level, with wisdom at this level, you can see how our life gets screwed. Huh? We mislead our life. Huh? And now, and next, if you can apply correctly, at least like what the Buddha said, hey Pasco, come and see. There's no harm, I come and see and try, right? The Buddha didn't say, if you don't believe in me, you'll go to hell. No. He just said, come and see, this is truth. He never used threatening technique to force people into his, what you call, his embrace, you know, or something like that. No. So obvious. In fact, again, they want to criticize. Oh, you people talk about suffering. You're not optimistic. We are realistic. We don't care about optimistic or pessimistic. We care about being real, realistic. See things as they really are with wisdom. Not with our willful or wishful thinking, no? Reality doesn't care how you think about it. Just like gravity doesn't care. You act in its own nature. So like this. So try to see things as they really are when we take our first step into spiritual search, spiritual pursuit. It's in setting the goal. In trying out the right method. This is conceptual application. far before we develop the ability of our wisdom, penetrative wisdom, to see ultimate reality, we should already apply this kind of realistic wisdom in the early stage of spiritual search, the noble search. And then, then people will say, well, Pandey, you're still talking about the spirituality. What about, I'm a businessman. I want to earn money. How can this Dharma help me? It can still help you. How to do it? I just want to talk, I'm not encouraging people to do this or do that. That's a life. You're afraid to choose a life. Our job is to tell truth as they are, and it's up to you to apply. I'm not teaching people how to earn money or whatever, but just tell the truth. Still, you need to apply seeing as they really are with wisdom. What? What things as they really are? There are a lot of things. For example, if you go to a stock market, sometimes for those who can see the trend of the stock market is influenced by various factors, by international politics, by some bad people who play, who speculate, who maneuver, and it can be, it can be related to some fiscal or monetary policy of the government. It can be related to so many aspects. It can be related to the worldly event like COVID. So, how to do it? If you get into a field, like doing business, how to see things as they really are with wisdom. Some time ago, I talked to our president, Tian Xiong. Yeah, he's teaching people how to do business, how to look at the trend, he said how to predict the movement of the stock market. I think there's something there, First, what he did, need to collect data. Because you want to see, you need to have the data. We want to see all the relevant factors that can influence the movement of a trend or market or whatever. So whatever that can cause an impact, you need to know. So it's very hard, right? Very hard. If you talk about stock market, very hard. Anything can influence. Rumors also can influence stock market trend. Anything can influence. So if people want to go into such a difficult field, you better watch out. Better know, you know yourself, how much money you have in enduring loss, in waiting out a downturn or something like that. So you know yourself and you need to know outside and everything. If you imagine, you feel good about it, you go by your feeling, very soon you get into big trouble. Because realities don't go by your feeling. Yes, sometimes you can have some instinct, yes. But you need to verify and check it out. Is the instinct reliable or not? Okay? So same. Business world also same. But you want to see things as they really are with wisdom, you should know what are the relevant things and take them all into consideration. The more you can, you don't miss out the relevant factors, influencing factors, the variables, the easier for you to have a mastery over it. The chances of success is greater. Not by willful, wishful thinking, no. Then, one more aspect is seeing things as they really are, which is very wonderful in the conceptual level and very beneficial, is to see before the phenomena arise. Now, this is something that requires big wisdom. Because how can someone see something before it arises? Yes, this is very common. Are you not predicting the rise of the sun from the east every day? Right? You know, every day the sun rises from the east. From the east. And in fact, you can know even more precisely, oh, you rise, you will see the sun's, the sun this. Let's say in 10 minutes. Why? If you are so sure you see sunrise, you are used to that. You can even predict, oh, in 10 minutes time, I will see the sun this. Why? Because we have seen the trend and how things move every day. You study the sun, the moon. You can even know, just like people can know exactly when the tide will rise, when the tide will fade away. Oh, because of calculating the position of the sun and moon. So, nature works in this way. The more you can take into calculation of all these relevant factors, relevant conditions, be only objectively with minimal interruption of emotions, then you can know. So suddenly we look at the causes, we know the effect will come. We cannot run away. So like that. And it is helpful. If you know the condition, you see things properly, you know how to focus the position yourself. You didn't take a wrong position. Once you take a wrong position, problem. If you take the position on the side of failure, something which can never deliver good result, and you take that position, finish. This nature. And sometimes seeing things that really are with wisdom in the conceptual level, you can know the timing of things. When is the right time to say something? When is the right time to do something? When is the right time to proceed? When is the time to retreat? That's also helpful. And sometimes people get swindled by con men. Bad people, they cheat. You tell you this and tell you that. Yeah. Because why people get easily cheated? You can notice that those people can get swindled and cheated by con men. Why only con men? Why no con woman? Nowadays they say there have to be equality. I think it's no good. You always say con men. Or is it men only got con? Con women also can be con women. Let's say, 男女平等, So con women and con men also, don't get swindled. See things as really are with wisdom. If you don't have a preconceived idea, this is a good guy, this is a bad guy, you always learn to break down compactness, moment to moment, understand a person as he or she is. Then, the person may talk all the nice words to you, all the sweet words to you, and suddenly come up with some plan and try to pull you down. Then you're alert. No. You don't get swayed by the sweet words. You're ever alert because you're ever mindful. So you can understand people moment to moment instead of you have a fixed perception of other people. No need. And sometimes we can see how the person's fate, or you can say fate or luck, is working. Why? Because we don't want to imagine. I remember when the COVID time to 2020, when the COVID just broke out in first in mainland China, then after that in Europe, Italy as well. Then one of our Tuchita Foundation chairman, Ting Ting, she also already arranged for a trip, for her dancing trip, dance academy. They wanted to go there for exam, dancing exam in Italy. Already planned, already ticket bought. And just a few days from flying off. Then because of the COVID, her mother objected very much to her plan. Because life is more precious than anything, you know. You can say you have already arranged, you have already bought ticket, but so what? If you die there, what's the meaning? So the brother also objected. Now is a widespread pandemic, so don't go. Then she still have some uncertainty because it's hard to tell the whole team not to go. She was a leader. So she called me up. She said, she just messaged me. Bande, I face this dilemma. Can you tell me what to do? Then I say, let's have a video conversation. Just in the WeChat, just press the video and talk to her. See. The moment I saw her, my decision was fixed already. I said, don't go. Give up everything. Your life is more precious. Then he just, without a word, just accept it. Say, Bande say so. So, I don't go. True enough. The next week, even worse. Those days, you remember, in Italy, in German, the pandemic spread day by day. So fast. And so many people die in Italy. If she went, she might get trapped there for another 6 months or 1 year. How are you going to live there? So hard. You don't even have sufficient masks those days. So, because I used to know Ting Ting as a very bright girl, very bright, healthy, strong, you know. But at that point of time, I say, I cannot decide. I cannot judge if I don't know your current state. The moment I saw her, I've never seen Ting Ting in that state before. Throughout my association with her, I always know her to be bright and sunshine, a lot of sunshine. And that day in the video, I just knew it was something wrong, you know? There's no more the same energy. It's that kind of low tide, low karma appearance. I said, no, don't go. If you are in that state, the best is hide in your hole, you know, hide in your house and don't simply go out and wait out the bad luck. So this is important. You don't assume. We don't assume. We try to see things as they really are, moment to moment. I was quite happy by giving her decisive advice at that time. I felt, until today, when I think of it, I feel happy. Because if I didn't stop her, she might end up in Italy and then have to suffer a long time. And basically, what influences our life a lot is natural law and conditions. Remember two things. Natural law doesn't stand alone. Usually, natural law will manifest in phenomena. So these two things, we must always be aware. So when we say see things as really are with wisdom, what we want to see really are with wisdom? We ask ourselves, what aspect of life are we talking about? Business? Relationship? Family? Or health? Or anything? Yeah. You need to know. In fact, just these few days I apply it, you know. Just these few days when I had a bad cough, you know. And, you know, I used to prefer traditional medicine than the Western way. Because sometimes I don't like too many drugs. The kind of the medicine is basically poisons sometimes. So when I consult my the Tao doctor, he told me cough is not a disease. It's something that you have to throw out the phlegm, the dirt. When we cough, it's a kind of manifestation of some problem in our body that need to be thrown out. Then after that, you'll be healthy. This is, okay, the Chinese way. Solve the problem at its root, substantially. So I try to follow until the phlegm came so much, blocked the breathing at night. Actually, it happened every day. Until one day, it was almost the killing. I said, no, yes, this is symptom. This is not the disease. But if the symptom can kill me, do I still want to stay with it? So I decide, no, I have to go to Western doctor and do something immediate and urgent, quick, and solve the phlegm to some extent. Yeah, I cannot hold on to the idea as a belief system. No, just use common sense. In fact, last year, one of our disciples in China, she at her age of 31, she committed suicide. What happened to her? She has a periodical release of blood, and that time too much. Because she burned too much. Until she lost so blood so much. And so the mind started to get blurry, dizzy, and couldn't think straight. But she still told me through the video talk, I wouldn't commit suicide. I know I cannot commit suicide, so I wouldn't. So I thought, okay, she at least is safe. But I told her, go to Western medicine. She refused. I said, don't, you know, Western medicine has lasted for a few hundred years. There must be some good value there. You know, rule out, you know. Why you completely rule out Western medicine? Yeah, you can say you prefer this way, you prefer the herbs. Fine. But in times of urgency, Western medicine provide very good solution, quick. Just infuse some blood into your body, then finish. Then you get the blood, then you can maintain your health for a while. And so you go to the Chinese physician, no problem. But nothing enter the mind. She just wouldn't accept it. And what can I do? The teacher's advice was not accepted. I still have some students who have hold on to this kind of wrong view. You know, how can you completely rule out something which has saved so many lives or so many people? Yes, side effect, yes. But it has its value. We should not be blind. Yeah, you can say, well, when I have, like now, you have feel, well, I'm not dying. Now it's in good state. Not too bad. Then I can prefer maybe a treatment which solve the problem at its root. Okay. But if not, if the symptom is so risky to your life, solve the symptom first. Yeah, do you have some common sense? So this, when we say see things as they really are with wisdom, means you can only do that when you discard your preconceived rigid ideas. We shouldn't have that. Everything happened because of the condition. Why we hold on to something so rigidly? If our Prince Siddhartha, our Bodhisattva, did not give up self-mortification, he wouldn't end up as a Sammasambuddha. He tried very hard for self-mortification for 6 years. Then he realized, if the past Buddhas had endured great suffering, they couldn't have endured more than me. Why? because and your further you die. So it's already at the brink of death. So, and if any future Buddhas to come can endure great suffering, it cannot also surpass what I have endured. So surely this is not the way. I will give up this way. Why? He remember all his striving was not for show, was not for self-satisfaction, was for liberation only. So if the method is correct, proceed. If you realize the method is wrong, don't hold on to it just because you have done it for a long time. You have invested in it for a long time. Don't do. In fact, one of the previous life, when he has practiced self-mortification until dying moment when he saw hellfire appear, he said, no. No, he already knew, realized that this is a sign where he will be reborn. Immediately at the last moment, he discarded his wrong will, wrong idea of self-mortification. Because a bodhisattva is always a bodhisattva, lots of parami, lots of good merits. So once he discarded this, immediately his merits came to his help and brought him to be reborn in the heavenly realm. This we call seeing things that really are with wisdom. You know, once you know it's wrong, let go. Don't hold on to a fixed and rigid idea. That's very dangerous. At one time, someone went to the Buddha and asked this question. The worldly people fight with the worldly people. The leaders fight with the leaders. Soldiers fight with soldiers. That's understandable because they have all the craving and defilements. But why religious people strive with religious people? They asked the Buddha. Then the Buddha answered, because of attachment to beliefs. They forget eventually why we adopt some spiritual practice for good, for the overcoming of suffering, for the human happiness. And yet, so often we find in the world, in the name of religion, in the name of spirituality, people kill, people steal, people commit all the bad act in the name of the ideal they seek. So pitiful, because they're holding on to fixed ideas. But this is not for Buddhist disciples of the Buddha should do. For us, the Buddha already told us, see things as they really are with wisdom. This is helpful when we apply it ultimately on ultimate realities. And it is also useful when we apply it before we see the ultimate realities. In conceptual realities, we apply, we have our life, our decision making, our judgment will be beneficial and helpful. Okay? So, there's this conceptual application. Well, what other aspect you may want to know, you are curious to know, you can ask questions. If you find this technique of seeing things as they really are not answering your question, not satisfying your doubt about life, and then please ask. All aspects. It's applicable. All aspects. But I'm inclined to talk about the spiritual life only. Conceptual application. Yes, this is a monk for so long. But for you, you can. If anything on anybody online, if you want to ask about whatever question you have regarding your life, please ask.
Pandey, I want to ask, everyone of us are from different background. And then, since young, we get our teaching from our father, mothers, and then from the Chinese tradition. And also, we learn from the teaching from Lao Tzu, Kong Tzu. And also, we study or, looking for the biography of the president of America and also those great people. And all the value and all those values will influence our behavior. So my question is, how we using this, this natural law, how we looking at using the natural law to, look these things is correct or not correct, or because it already influenced us, it become our behavior already. So my question is, how we want to know this value is according to the natural law or not? Yeah.
Sometimes, if we don't hold on to this influence, we are having influence, all of us, somewhat. But the idea is important thing is we, if we want to apply this, seeing things as a radar with wisdom, we should not attach to what we values or whatever we have. Don't attach. So that we maintain some kind of simple common sense. For example, okay, you talk about America, okay? Okay. Now they used to, the idea is to kill off all the enemies. You know? If you have a terrorist, you kill them. You have enemies, you kill them. If you kill your enemies, all will live in peace. The world will be peaceful. But is it so? Look at what America has done to the world. You know? Yeah, they may start with a good intention that I want to help. You know, I want to kill off the terrorists. Then see what happened. What is the result after the Iraq war, you know, Iraqi or Afghanistan war? What happened to the country themselves? So much money spent. You know, those money you could have done a lot of great work. You know, because of that, impoverished their own country in you know, Not poor, not very poor yet, but already a lot of poor people, they are not taken care. You know, this is a great country. The country of Washington, George Washington, the country of Abraham Lincoln. The country of JFK. But what happened? You know? Because they believe killing of enemy, they solve a problem. In fact, they try to teach and lecture the world in the same way. And look at ASEAN countries, which incline towards the Eastern values of compromise. In fact, ASEAN is most unlikely to be harmonious and peaceful because the religions are so diverse, ethnic groups are so diverse. You know, people used to have conflict. But the leaders are wise. No, if I kill you, kill me all, we'll end up in a mess. And none of us have a good life. So tolerate and compromise. So if you look at the whole world, the most diverse group of people is actually in Southeast Asia, ASEAN. And yet this is a place which is until today, which managed to navigate themselves in a safe way and at least don't get into the severe, serious conflict here and there. And those who believe that anger can kill, you know, you never extinguish anger with anger. You only extinguish anger with love. You know? So, like that. So we don't buy. Because just look at the result. The result speaks for it. Yeah, you may not see. You may be brainwashed for some time. 5 years, 10 years. But if you go through a long time, look at the result. If your approach is so good, why you mess up the world? Everywhere you put your hands in, you put your military in, mess up. That's what happened to America. Look at, you let it go through the record. Out of the history since independence, only 16 years, America was not get involved in war. Always some kind of war. So when President Donald Trump called up ex-President Jimmy Carter and just express, you know, what happened to our country? We worked so hard and we cannot solve the problem. And Jimmy Carter told him, we have spent so much money in war and wasted so much energy in war. Yes, no doubt. When the two towers in Manhattan fell down, that was devastating. But you have to choose the best solution and not the most, you know. You know, if you only have the fighting mentality, you know, these are my enemy, kill off. But you cannot finish killing enemies. After you kill them, then more come. The more you kill, the more it comes. And never ending. Look at ASEAN. In Malaysia and Philippines and Indonesia, we used to have trouble, problem over the, those last time the President Sukarno in Indonesia thought, oh, this Malaysia is part of me. It's my country. How can you get independence? And then the Sabah, the, actually Sabah belonged to Philippines because of the king. But for some reason, it ended up being Malaysian. So the ASEAN country compromised. Okay, that's what you can do. You know? When Singapore and Malaysia were struggling, then you still find a way to compromise someone. Not everyone has everything, you know? You want to be have everything and let other people have nothing, that's hegemon. 霸权. Hegemon. You want to have everything. That's what America does. They want to have everything. Now, my way. That's give and take. Sometimes you have to give in, you know? Younger, you have to let people have some winning points. Yeah. So we are, if we look at reality, look at the result, we can see for ourselves. Does it work? You know, for the sake of the end justify the means. That's why the Iraq war, the Colin Powell, the defense, is it the Secretary of State at that time? Is it Secretary of State? Went to the United Nations Security Council and took out a powder. Yeah, you can find in YouTube, you know, the whole video. Such a powder. Yeah. This is the mass destruction weapon the Saddam Hussein had. With light, they want to destroy Saddam Hussein. Yeah, they thought that's good. After they destroy Saddam Hussein, the world will be more peaceful. So they don't mind using a lie. Maybe they have a good intention in the back, thinking that this is solve the world's problem. But when you lie, your means is wrong, it's evil, what will happen? You launch a war for, you know, and killing so many people, whole country destroyed, people destroyed in the names of lies, saying that this is mass destruction weapon. Actually took out a tube, like washing powder, you know? And say, we found this. And finding, using that as an excuse, launch a war. Illegal war. What will happen? So, if you look at the result through history, all the evil means eventually produce evil ending result. That's it. You know, but so many people, they cannot think straight. The buttock decide the brain. Yes, because you belong to this country, you cannot see the mistake of a country. But not like people like Jeffrey Sachs, who is a professor in the Columbia University. Yeah. There are some wise people in America, but they have no voice. The media wipe them out. They have no chance to voice out and influence the mass. They have no chance. But they are wise. But wise people never get a chance to be seen. So that will happen. So what we do, don't hold on. Just look at the result. Now look at the result. Every time this person steps in, messy things happen. Again, he steps in, messy things happen. Again, he steps in, there's a problem, messy things happen. Then look at other thing, another aspect. ASEAN. We have, in fact, ASEAN countries have more problems to solve, more potential conflicts. But okay, you know, the world is never perfect. Learn to give and take and compromise. That's how ASEAN countries prosper. Yeah, don't you think there's always peace? The Cambodia and Vietnam, Laos and Vietnam, Vietnam and mainland China, you know, Indonesia and Malaysia and Brunei. We have the conflict on territory, the sea territory, but compromise. Thinking that if you win the fight this way, and people also regard you in the same way, yeah, eventually both will go down. So sometimes we look at the result, then we look back and don't always jump in the corner. We are right. If you believe we are right, then all your interpretation of the facts and reality, all your analysis will be in that direction. You already come to the conclusion first before you analyze the data. How can you do that? But people actually happen like that. At one time, in my second year, I went to attachment. Attachment means, we go to the court or we go to the legal firm and sit down there and observe how the judge decide. So one day, after the judge had the case, I want to have the audience with the judge. I said, can I, I'm a student from MU Law Faculty. Can I see you? I want to know how you treat, how you regard this case. Then the judge told me, frankly speaking, I already have my conclusion before I listen to the debate. I already have my conclusion. So let them talk whatever they like. I know my answer. So all the court proceeding, all the debate means meaningless. Because the judge had already come to a conclusion before he entered the courtroom. Yeah. Don't you think that this only happened in low profile level? Can it happen on high profile level? People don't bother about facts and data. They want the conclusion. Then they formulate all the arguments and reasoning like that. That is why you find in the world, the population of this country or support the country, this population support the country. Where is the truth? And you find in the Congress or in the Parliament, one party, they always vote in this direction and another party vote in another direction. What happened to the wisdom? How can human being be so clearly, the camp is so clearly defined? Because of the bounded interest. There's no truth there. The right way of representative is abolish all the parties. Everyone represent their mind. Every member of parliament should speak from their mind and not be caught by their parties, like party line. So that you can express yourself honestly. I don't believe in all these people speaking honestly. No, I don't believe. How can it be so? They always vote in that direction, almost all. Once in a while, a few votes, but mostly in one direction. Mostly, and because they have a self-interest entangled in it. In fact, this is worn by, I think, President Eisenhower. Is it how to pronounce? President Eisenhower. Yeah, he said about the military complex. He warned about the military complex, the lobby system. The military complex, you know, those who produce weapons. One is the Martin and what? Huh? In fact, the wise American president already foresaw the danger that one day politics are no more independent. politics are enslaved and used as a tool by the corporate. In America, you cannot go against the top 50 richest men. You cannot. You finish. Your political career will be finished. That is the danger when truth doesn't apply. You know? Yeah. In fact, certain leaders, they know what is good for the country. You know? Like Tulsi Gabbard. I think she's nice. Huh? She's honest. She knew what is good for America. But she got no voice out. So until things can get so bad one day, then they may have to realize. In fact, we should be able to see this long before any disasters happen, before things turn into a catastrophe. Because nature, that you cannot go against nature. The law of cause and effect is natural. That's, I'm talking, as you say, the leader side, you know. But when I went to America, among the people, I saw there are still a lot of good people. So because of that, I think this country will still cannot doom so easily, because the people's karma are good. There are still a lot of upright people, a lot of righteous people, you know. They defend their brothers. So that is also the good side of it. So when we try to see things as they really are, we don't catch one side and assume the rest. No. We try to see things as they really are. You know? See things as they really are. There are good parts. In every country, every religion, every group of people, every community, we don't say all the good and all the bad. Not like that. You don't find in the world like that. There are certain good aspects of it, there's the mistake of it, there is the correct part of it. So that is the real objectivity. See things as they really are with wisdom requires this attitude. Take things as they really are instead of, I assume. No. Don't assume. Just because the person does something good, you assume everything is good about what he does, then, yeah, accept the person is a Buddha. Yeah. You know, or Arahant. Otherwise, people are made up of, I would say, angel and devils in them. So when the devilish aspect arise in them, let's notice and don't follow blindly. And when the wrong thing, when the right thing, we also appreciate the wrong thing, don't follow. So in this way, we can distinguish. We can distinguish moment to moment. Then we actually apply this seeing things as they really are with wisdom in a very practical and useful way in our conceptual living. For me, yeah, I'm very much influenced by some of the great speeches of American presidents. Like JFK, you know, Abraham Lincoln. In fact, Abraham Lincoln influenced my younger days, huh? A lot. Especially after he has suffered 20 over failures, when people ask him, now you still go for the president, the kind of campaign and you want to go for that. You failure. People tend to say, oh, you failed 20 over times, this time you will fail also. But he didn't think like that. He said, well, after all, if I fail 20 over times, what is it to fail one more time? It doesn't matter. Just add to the record. But because of that attitude, he succeeded in becoming the 16th president of America. And I think in history, he's considered the greatest. Or one of the greatest, if not the greatest. So actually, I look at it this way. I don't buy the whole group, everything. If you want to learn to see things as they really are, don't fall into this trap of all are good or all are bad. No, just distinguish moment to moment, point to point. If you're right, you're right. You're wrong, this aspect, you're wrong. That's it. You have to have this attitude. Okay? Any more? Any questions?
Bante, as you said, seeing things as they really are, how do we increase our ability to seeing things as they really are?
Yeah, yes, I told already, the whole talk. Okay, the attitude, cultivate the attitude. Don't always assume, always learn to distinguish. Of course, the better still if you can know the Vipassana practice of breaking down compactness, then you apply that in conceptual level. And just analyze the facts without your preconceived subjective perception or subjective feeling, emotions. Be free from that. Then you can see things as they really are more and more. In your conceptual application, data collection is very necessary. Don't jump into conclusion without data. So investigate first before you say anything responsibly. Okay, next.
Okay, the next is also quite similar. Bante, how to see things clearly as they really are in terms of choosing the path, seeing the causes and effect relationship when we haven't reached the stage or don't have full wisdom?
Yeah, that means you cannot. If you don't have sufficient concentration, bhavana mayapanya doesn't belong to you, then no way you can see the apply in the ultimate sense, on ultimate realities. But conceptual reality, you can, some kind of reasoning, There's still a lot of things you can make correct reasoning, thinking power. But even though the conclusion may not be absolute, until you see them, see things as they really are, but still very useful. For example, rebirth. Some people they cannot practice to see a rebirth, but they can just do a lot of research. Actually, there are a lot of research about children remembering their past lives. It's so many facts and about this already. But people don't want to investigate what to do. If you investigate, you'll find a lot of these kind of facts. Okay, then data collection, conceptual level relies on this data collection. Try to, before you jump to conclusion, find out data. If you already fix your conclusion, then no way, all data cannot awaken you. Okay, then next.
The next question. Bante, as we are in the path of understanding and moving forward towards seeing things clearly, how do we balance ourselves with the people around us who might not be seeing the things as clearly as we did?
It doesn't matter. So when we are so sure, then that result speaks for itself. So sometimes if I know something is going wrong and people insist on it, then I will let go. Then I will just say it won't work. And let me see. Then just let the person perform. Eventually cause and effect works in the best way and truth tells. Then this time the person may not be influenced by us, but next time the person will. Because the reality will prove the unfolding of events will prove the correct seeing and correct vision. So for me, I'm patient. I don't insist on getting things, writing every mistake at the first instance. I can allow things to go wrong. Then if you don't listen, you bite the dust. And then eventually, one day you realize what is right and what is the real wisdom. But sometimes some people, you just no way to wake them up, then too bad. They will always scream, cry, I have done all the right things, why bad things happen? No. bad things happen because things are reasonable. Things just that you don't know the reason, you don't know the causes only. It cannot be if you have been doing all the right thing. Yeah, sometimes you do the right thing, still bad things happen. But through time, long time, it's not possible that any person, any nation, any society, any group, any community, doing all the right causes and through a long time and very bad things happen continuously. That's not possible. That's not possible. Once in a while, yes, because the karma doesn't ripen instantaneously. But eventually, things cannot go so bad if the right things are performed all the while. You know? So, no need to insist on, you know, getting people to your side. No, no. If they come to your side, okay, fine. If they don't come to your side, let them be. But sometimes people may be right and we are wrong. Right or not? So my approach is that if I let people go and let people try, if they get things right, then I will accept it. But one safe way to help us ourselves is ask ourselves this question. What if the Buddha were to be around? Will the Buddha approve my decision, my judgment? Ask this. Yes, no doubt we cannot know exactly what the Buddha can think and can judge, can decide. Because no one has this capability to know the Buddha's mind except another Buddha. Even the people in mind reading also may not be able to understand the Buddha's so thoroughly, so completely. Only another Buddha. So, but when we ask this question, we are invoking our knowledge about the Buddha to the best we know. Right? Will the Buddha approve this? No, the Buddha will not approve this. We know that the Buddha will never approve any causes of suffering. Then, with this question, we can stay away from any causes of suffering. Okay? Okay, next.
Okay, Bante, the last question online. Bante, if you have some time now or future, I would like to ask. We do know forgiving is a good virtue and it should be practiced in all circumstances. Am I correct in Dharma perspective?
Yes. Yeah. Forgive is good. Forgive is to free yourself from the bondage of hatred, of emotional burden, you know. Whether the person deserves your forgiving, but actually no one deserves. Everyone can be forgiven, to put it correctly. No matter how bad and how evil a person is, it can be forgiven. Forgive doesn't mean I give you another chance to do the wrong things. No. Please understand. Many people believe, oh, when I forgive, you borrow from me, you don't pay back, and now you want to borrow again. I forgive you, so I have to prove my forgiveness. No, I forgive you, but I no need to prove my forgiveness. I forgive from my heart only. And whether I want to regard you, give you the same opportunity, that depends on my understanding of you with wisdom as you really are, moment to moment. Okay. So forgiveness is always correct because we don't want to hold something to our heart to bear the mental burden. We don't want to do that. Any causes of suffering is never justifiable in the Buddha's teaching. We should forgive unconditionally at the first instance of people committing the wrong thing to us. Okay? So I hope. This sharing or seeing things as they really are with wisdom, you can apply this wisdom, can apply this approach in your current life and while you are proceeding towards applying this wisdom, this approach, this method to the ultimate realities which will lead us to Nibbana. So this one, we apply the Dhamma on all level. And this is to, today's talk is to help you to apply this approach in your current level, wherever you stand and wherever you are. Okay? So for that, you should perform, make an aspiration of sharing of merits. Idang me punyang asawa kaya wahang hutu. Idang me punyang nibbana sa pachayo hutu. Mama punya bagang sabba satanang bhajemi. Te sabbe me samang punya bagang labandu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.